Good morning to all of you. Your Royal Majesty, Your Royal Highness, Your Excellency, Vice President of Tanzania, Your Excellency, Mr. Paolo Gentiloni, Minister of Foreign Affairs, my good friend, Dr. Marino, Mayor of Rome. It's an honor to have a fellow doctor to be a mayor. And Your Excellencies, Honorable Ministers, distinguished delegates, my dear brother, Graciano De Silva, Director General of FAO, friends and colleagues from the UN agencies, civil societies, parliamentarians, and ladies and gentlemen. Very warm good morning to you. I can't say welcome to Rome because this is not my home base. I come from Geneva. But Rome is one of my favorite cities. The only person who worry about me coming to Rome is my husband. And we all know the reason. Let me take this opportunity to really appreciate the Italian government, especially the city of Rome, the capital in particular, for hosting the ICN2. WHO is especially honored and privileged to be working very closely with FAO to jointly organize the ICN2, and we want to thank the member states of both organizations for giving us this special privilege. Ladies and gentlemen, the need for strong and smart policies governing agriculture, food production, and nutrition is greater today than at any time in recent history. Many realities support this view. Our 21st century societies are interconnected, interdependent, and wired together as never before. The increases in international air travel and trade have been phenomenal. Like countries, policy spheres are interconnected as well. Their boundaries are becoming blur. Good food and nutrition-related policies must be mutually reinforcing. They cannot be planned in isolation. With societies and policy spheres tied together, the consequences of bad policies in one country or a killer disease affecting parts of West Africa, as we are seeing, rapidly reverberate all around the world. Let me use the Ebola epidemic to make two points that are very relevant to your agenda. When my staff fly into Lofa in Liberia, they pass over the so-called forest zone, a triangle-shaped area of ancient tropical rainforests where the country's borders intersect with those of Guinea and Sierra Leone. The photos taken by my staff show the scooped-out gorges, the sprawling bald spots in the forest where foreign mining and timber companies exploited the country's natural resources during years of civil unrest and weak government oversight. Those activities denuded the forest and disrupted its natural ecology, driving wild animals closer and closer to human settlements. This is my first point. Environmental policies must also be part of the discussions during this summit. Our planet, ladies and gentlemen, is losing its capacity to sustain human life in good health. No one is predicting that population growth will outpace the productivity of the world's food systems. No, we are not suggesting that. But this food must be health promoting, and it must be produced in sustainable ways that first do no harm. My second Ebola example is this. When studies link bush meat from wild animals that reside in the forest zone to the start of the outbreak in Guinea, the the hunting and consumption of bushmeat were banned. This is my second point. The profound importance of ensuring food security for all. You cannot solve the problem of hunger with a ban. As I have been told, bushmeat is a principal source of food and a principal source of income for these people. If banned from hunting, selling, and consuming this food, people starve. And there are other realities we need to address. Worldwide, social inequalities in income levels, in opportunities, in health outcomes, and nutritional status are at their highest level in living memory. Economies are growing, but policies tend to favor the elite and powerful while failing to protect the poor. The world does not need any more rich countries full of poor people. Dire poverty and hunger still affect millions of people. Hunger and the resulting nutrition deficiency cause millions of diseases. Diseases like anemia, night blindness, goiter, and problems like low birth weight babies and wasting in young children. Undernutrition stunts the growth and cognitive development of children and kills them near the start of their very short lives. Of course, WHO established dietary and nutritional guidelines, looks after food safety issues. By the way, April 7th next year is the World Health Day, and the theme is on food safety. And that shows to you the importance we attach to this issue. And of course, WHO will estimate and maps the prevalence of undernourished and overnourished individuals in the world. In addition to those, we also deal with other worries. According to some experts, the world's food system is broken, with its reliance on the industrialized production of ever cheaper, highly processed, and unhealthy food. This is not my personal area of expertise. I cannot agree or disagree. But from a health perspective, I do see some warning signs. In large parts of the developing world, and especially in Africa, family farmers are the backbone of the rural economy. The globalization of an industrialized food supply crowds them out in such a way that their traditional livelihoods were often displaced and their healthy diets were forgotten. Municipal authorities in large cities in Africa and in Asia find it cheaper actually to import processed foods from abroad than to gather fresh produce from the hinterlands. This brings to mind the classical image of globalization. A U.S. ship loaded with wheat heading for Asia passes an Indian ship also loaded with wheat on its way to America. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, this redundancy and inefficiency is still cheaper than gathering fresh produce from local farmers. We really need to think hard. Why? Something is wrong. Ladies and gentlemen, part of our out-of-balance world still starves to death. And other parts stuff itself into a level of obesity so widespread that it is pushing life expectancy figures backward and pushing the cost of healthcare to astronomical figures. A high prevalence of population-wide obesity and overweight is not too difficult to spot those signs, is actually the warning sign that bad trouble is on its way, in the form of more heart disease, more diabetes, and more cancers at multiple sites. The future health of this world needs policy coherence, nationally and also globally. It needs policy coherence across multiple sectors, including agriculture, food production, distribution, and marketing, and protection of the environment and the livelihood of farmers. We need state-of-the-art scientific consensus reports on the minimum micronutrient intakes required to prevent problems associated with undernutrition. And we also need standards on maximum intakes that should not be exceeded to protect against chronic diet-related diseases. The World Health Organization produces these reports. This is not the problem. And what is the problem? The problem is getting the recommendations implemented in countries. And this means persuading the food industry to produce more healthy foods and to stop selling so many convenient and tasty foods that are bought bad for health. I think that the economic objective and the health objective can cross, can converge. And I think the countries of this world have the creativity to work with civil society, academics, and the private sector to find the right solutions for good health. Mapping out a framework of coherent policies fit for the 21st century is part of our job here at this summit. Ladies and gentlemen, distinguished ministers of agriculture and health, I look to you for your guidance and advice and how FAO and WHO can support your work in your countries. And I wish you all a most productive meeting. Thank you.